Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Tuesday, May 19th meeting of the Senate Committee on Rules. We have a big crowd here, and we do have some bills to take up initially before we get to our executive appointments. We're going to start with the bills. So first, I'm going to open a work session for the purpose of bill introduction. And Senator Farioli.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that LC 4264 be introduced as a committee measure.
And Senator Farioli has moved that LC 4264 be introduced as a committee measure. I assume it's posted on OLS.
And I'll just, members of the committee, LC 4264 is born out of the discussion we had earlier in session about training of new commission and board members. Then we had the concern with relating to clause with the underlying bill, so they've come back to us with a bill that just is a bill about in training new board members, and DAS would make accommodations for that. So that's what this bill does.
Okay, so we have a motion in front of us to introduce this LC as a committee measure. Is there any discussion on the motion? Any objection to the motion? Motion carries, and I'll close that work session. And next, I'll open a work session on Senate Bill 525A. And we had a public hearing on this last week, but Erin, why don't you refresh our memory?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Senate Bill 525A prohibits possession of firearm or ammunition if person is subject to restraining order continued after opportunity for hearing, or if person has been convicted of qualifying misdemeanor involving domestic violence, establishes that prohibition does not apply. If offense is expunged, allows for relief from prohibition upon court petition. We have a -A4 amendment. The -A4 amendment establishes circumstances under which respondent subject to restraining order is prohibited from possession of firearm or ammunition, provides that defendant convicted of qualifying misdemeanor may not possess a firearm or ammunition if defendant was a family member of victim at time of offense. It does define family member in the amendment. It also defines qualifying misdemeanor. There is a no revenue and a minimal fiscal impact on the -A4 amendment, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Erin. And so members, we are in a work session. We already took public testimony. Senator Farioli.
Madam Chair, I move to adopt the -A4 amendment to Senate Bill 525A.
Senator Farioli has moved the -A4 amendment to Senate Bill 525A. Is there any discussion on the amendment? Any objection to the amendment? Amendment is adopted. Senator Farioli.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 525A to the floor with a due pass as amended recommended.
Senator Farioli has moved Senate Bill 525A as amended with a due pass recommendation to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion on the motion? Any objection to the motion? Okay, motion carries. The bill moves to the floor. We will ask Senators Monis Anderson and Senator Winters. They have both volunteered to be our co-carriers on the floor, and so we'll have them do that. And I'll close the work session on Senate Bill 525A. And next, I will open a public hearing on the appointment of Bruce Buckmaster and Jason Atkinson to the State Fish and Wildlife Commission. And I will ask both of them to come forward together. Good afternoon, and welcome to the Senate Rules Committee. The way we operate here is that we ask each of you to tell us a little bit about yourself and why you would like to serve on the State Fish and Wildlife Commission. Then we open it up for any questions from our committee members. And after that, at the end of the hearing, we will be acting on the appointment. So please, whoever wants to go first. I see former Senator Jason Atkinson, a former member of this committee as well, here. Maybe you'd like to go first and show how it's done.
Well, good afternoon. For the record, I'm Jason Atkinson, and it's a pleasure to know that after 2 years of not being in the building, I'm still able to create a crowd. I am delighted to be before you. I have to open by saying how much I miss all of you. I miss this committee. I was 14 years on this particular committee, so it's fun for me to be here. I come to you by way of re-engaging in public service. I was asked by the current governor and the governor before if I would serve on this commission, and it was interesting and very flattering, but I was very busy at the first time that the offer had come up, and really had a chance to consider if this was something I would like to do, and agreed to do it as time has gone on. It's a subject matter I've paid a lot of attention to by way of carrying all of the commissioners who are currently serving through this committee and on the floor over the years, and working with all of the various issues that this agency faced on a policy side and on a budget side. But the interest of the Fish and Wildlife are something that, as you know, I'm very involved with and took a sabbatical from public service to concentrate on with the creation of some work that I'm doing on the Klamath and around the country. So it's a real delight to be asked to serve on this commission. And I think some of the big issues that are before us on the policy side excite me, frankly, on the fish side. Fish numbers are a topic that I'm interested in. Obviously, waterfowl is something I've written a great deal about in the last 2 years. Published another book recently that's done pretty well on fish and wildlife, and blog quite a bit on fish and wildlife. So these are topics close to my heart on a personal level. And I'm delighted to serve, and I'd be happy to answer any questions. And the undue hazing that I'm sure I am probably going to get and I'm fully prepared for. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much, Senator Atkinson. And I think, why don't we just hold questions till we've heard from both of you. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Senator Rosenbaum, members of the committee. My name's Bruce Buckmaster. I'm from Astoria, Oregon. As a lifelong fisherman and hunter, you know, I really feel blessed to live in Oregon. And it's clear to me that the past commissioners have worked diligently to advance the mission of the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, which says to protect and enhance Oregon's fish and wildlife and their habitats for the use and enjoyment by present and future generations. I was raised to believe that citizen involvement is our civic duty, and I would like to think that my extensive participation in a number of issues around this department on wild fish, native fish, the Hatchery Research Center, the Federal Task Force on Pinnipeds and Salmonid Interaction, working with the Umatilla Tribe and the wheat growers on a white paper through the years have given me some insight. My perspective as a community advocate will provide, I think provides me a balance on the increasing demands of all the user groups. That includes things like landowner tags for landowners, which seems to make a great deal of sense to me, and also, like Jason said, to pursuing all available opportunities to increase fish populations. Along with the mission, I'm a firm believer in what it says on the front wall of this building. I like it a lot. It says the sharing of benefits justly apportioned. That was the first thing I was ever in this building testifying on about, I guess it's been about 12 years ago. I believe that the skill sets required to successfully run a business are an asset that would aid the ODFW in its ever-increasing need to balance its budget and to continue to provide essential services. Doing more with less is never an easy job. The department will need practical support to meet its mandate. I believe my experience and temperament will contribute to its success. Oregon's commitment to its resources, its natural beauty, its stewardship, its communities, its equitability are consistent with my beliefs. I'd be honored to devote my time and energy to the commission with the clear intent of providing service to our fish, wildlife, and habitat, all our citizens, and the many generations of future Oregonians. Thank you.
Okay, thank you both for your testimony. And at this point, we'll open it up for questions from committee members. Senator Beyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Chair. I guess I'll throw it out to both of you, but Mr. Buckmaster, I guess this is mostly intended to you. Obviously, a lot of the concern, I'll put it that way, and some criticism that have been raised is because of your professional involvement on one side of the Columbia River issues. The question is, can you be fair and balanced and represent both sportsmen and commercial interests alike? And I guess I'll go beyond that one and say, other than just the commercial fishing interests, what's your perspective on the broader fish and wildlife issues?
I think, Senator Rosenbaum, Senator Meyer, thank you. I think I should address this first. You used the word professional. I have never been a professional lobbyist. It's been bandied about by a lot of people recently as if I were. I got involved as a business owner in my community because I was recycling fish waste and making fish feed for the hatchery. Started working with the group, local businessmen and the small commercial family, commercial fishermen on Salmon for All, filling a seat down there. I like those people, even though I'm a lifetime sport fisherman. They remind me growing up of the family farmers. I respect them. I would come down, I first came down down here when there was a bill to strike the word equitable from the language directing the ODFNW. I defended equitable. I was coming down so often during a few of the bills over a period of about 3 years before the legislature that the lobbyists for Salmon for All suggested, because I was spending more than 24 hours a quarter, that I needed to register. I went back and read the rather extensive details of who has to register. I'm glad they told me to register. I did. It even says talking or corresponding in writing with others to solicit their efforts to influence or attempt to influence legislative action is one of those things. My guess is that after this this gets through, there should be a lot of new people registering. But I did, but I was never paid. I came down on my own. And I did that same thing when I was working on the Hatchery Research Center for all fishermen. I did the same thing on the Pinniped Task Force for all fishermen. Most of my work is for all of fish, and I drive to create more for more abundance rather than one particular group. I just believe it ought to be fair. Thanks.
Did you want have a question?
Oh, I have a question.
Okay, Senator Boquist, are you done, Senator Beyer? Okay, Senator Boquist, please go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Obviously, I've done the research. I've read both bios, and you know, Mr. Buckmaster, I know you stopped by our office and we exchange emails and letters and so on and so forth, and the senator and I go back, so I'll dispense with, and you both have professional background, the experience, so on and so forth like that, so I'll kind of get to the chase. Until your appointments came up, you know, I sit on revenue and finance, which is, you know, unfortunately the raise the taxes, and we just had one from my good colleague over here. But the issue that came up as I started looking at this is I did not realize the actual position of ODFNW. And upon research, I read the Secretary of State's audit report. I had discussions over the phone with auditors, with the department, with the LFO analysts. And in short, the agency's upside down. I mean, it's in serious financial problems. Just for fairness, in equal passion, the emails arriving on one of the two of you also and say, don't raise licenses. But the fact of the matter is, we're looking at a proposal for the agency to cut 42 positions. So I'm looking for both of you to kind of respond of what talents do you bring to the table, and what are your thoughts? Because this is an odd board, because this commission actually hires its director. And so you guys are responsible for what the agency does. It's not just the advisory thing to the governor. So if you would both kind of, how do you see or what do you know of the present budget crisis, and what can you bring to the table to help turn this thing around? Because we're going to have to pump a lot of general fund money in this to keep it afloat.
Nicely, well played. Let me first go by saying I agree with you entirely. Many personal friends of mine have asked me about this commission and some of the smallness of the politics in the last couple of weeks about it. If I wanted to put my reputation with an agency that's in this dire of a strait and with some of the silliness of what people say. I will say, what do I bring to the table? I've always very separately kept my life separate, my public life from my private life, but for 20 years what I've been doing is corporate turnarounds. And when you do a corporate turnaround, it takes a tremendous amount of pain, typically, before you can turn revenues into something that's sustainable. Serving on your side of the dais for so many years, the last time a fee increase came up, I voted against it, which was pretty odd because many of the people who are opposing my nomination were urging me at that time to vote for it. And I said no, and I'll tell you why. I usually buy my organ tags on about the 3rd or 4th of January because I don't want to miss a day, and steelheading is particularly good in January in Oregon if you know where to go. But the problem you have with ODF&W is it's based on an old model. Like a lot of state government, it's based on user fees, and its user fees, its mission is broader than the people who are paying into its user fees. And so it has a mission to watchable wildlife, but we don't exactly charge a fee to people to go look at birds, for instance. You have a tremendous rub between the federal and the state versions of how we manage fish and wildlife, and you have something called the baby boomers. And the baby boomers were really great and multiplying, but as they get a little bit older, they didn't have as many children. And so license sales are not sustainable based on the baby boomer funding model. There's also a trend going across the country right now, as I work with some larger groups in public lands and public hunting, and especially on the hunting side, hunting on public grounds issues, and that is that we're not seeing the same numbers of young people get involved in hunting and fishing, and it's even more told with women. It's interesting to me that this has been a topic that's been around since World War II, bring a kid fishing, but not until it's come down to funding numbers have we seen it so as important as it is in Oregon. So here you have Oregon, which I'm very, very proud of, and I'm fortunate enough to fish in quite a few locations, and there's no place quite like Oregon. We have more hunting and fishing opportunities than Alaska, because we can do it year-round. We have more hunting and fishing opportunities than Montana, because we can do it year-round, and we have things that swim into the Pacific, and they have things that swim into the Mississippi, and our fish are bigger. So we have this fantastic place, and we don't market it. This has been a beef of mine for years. So you have a sinking corporation with declining revenues, with an aging population buying tickets, and you don't market it. Eventually, something's going to give. And so what the current budget that you're sitting on, I haven't studied. I haven't torn it apart. I'd wait to see if I was successful here before I got into that. But I would say that there is a tremendous amount of opportunity for this agency to do the following. Number one, to reach out to groups that it's currently fighting with. Number two, reach out with current groups in state government that actually have money and tag team up on marketing opportunities. There should be no reason that Oregon doesn't have the very best reputation in the country for hunting and fishing, and we don't because we don't promote it. Those are two tickets to quick revenue, but long term, the way that this agency is created and the way it's been sustained just doesn't work, and it's not going to work 10 years from now. So you can fill it with money now, and 10 years from now it's still not going to work. So fundamentally you're going to have to change the approach, and I think that's a big risk for me to take, but I think that knowing some of the other personalities on this board, I think it'd be ultimately doable.
Senator Rosenbaum, Senator Boquist, thank you. You sent out that very, very lengthy email a week or so ago, which basically was one sentence on what are you going to do to see a way forward with this troubled agency. That was the, it was, had to be the most open-ended email I'd ever received. But I assumed you were talking about the budget and responded as if that was your question. I heard Jason give largely the same answer to a similar question a week or so ago, and I liked it, the idea of marketing. And I would certainly support, if we were both on the commission, I would support his efforts there. I'm more of a belt and suspenders kind of business guy. I always have been. I don't like, you know, the hackneyed phrases of right sizing. But we have 50, a little over 50 distinct programs within the department. And I would like to see, and have never seen to this point, and not saying that it's not out there, a direct ranking of those programs based on their importance to the mission of the ODF&W. I would include those that we even get outside money for, because free doesn't necessarily mean important. I think it's a lot easier to ask people for money if you can show them that you're doing a good job with the money you've already received. That issue is important to me. As I looked at it, I asked a few former commissioners to what extent the commission was involved in the budget. It is my understanding that it's very little. That the commission has been delivered a budget, as the word that was given to me by one is fait accompli, but that the chair often has a more involved role directly with the director of the agency. You made it very clear about how you see the responsibility of this commission. I agree with you, and I would support getting more involved. I agree with Jason that the existing and the potential license holders, fishing and hunting, cannot sustain this particular size of a department. I would like to see if there's any redundancy in this department with other agencies. So this is something that having gone to a number of commission meetings, I've never heard an extensive discussion about budget. And looking at a 30-some million dollar hole, it seems like it's about time, and I'd be willing to do that. Thank you.
Madam Chair, can I add one more piece to that?
Sure.
Madam Chair, Senator Boqvist, one of the things I've learned through board service and in my private life is the strength of the relationship between a board and the executive team of a company. And how, if you have an activist board or if you have a passive board, and I'm not a passive person, I get bored easy. Too many boards in that sentence, sorry. But the fact of the matter is that Mr. Melcher, I've known for a very long time. In fact, I've worked directly with the last three or four directors of Fish and Wildlife. I think there's a hunger to figure out new ways to do things, from what I've gathered in the last couple of months. I think, I don't want to rat him out in this hearing, but I will. I'm a huge fan of Todd Davidson over at Travel Oregon. He's a friend of mine. He's a fan of some of the projects I'm involved with now. And he's a hunter and a fisherman himself. Now, how come we're not worked very closely with Travel Oregon? I don't know. But there's opportunities out there to be had. I'm really interested in what kind of dynamic you have or is going to be created between this commission and the executive team to actually make some pretty hard calls, because I think that's what's – I don't think there's anybody that thinks the status quo can be fixed with money.
Is that it? Okay. Additional questions?
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Senator Farioli.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This outfit's a wreck. There's no point mincing words about it. It's a mess, and it's a mess for a whole bunch of different reasons. One of which is the dysfunctionality. We introduced a bill 5 minutes ago, an LC draft 4264, which is specific to training board members. And the reason we introduced that bill is the wreck that is the ODF&W board. It doesn't understand that its role is to set policy for the ODFW. And what's been going on with ODF&W for decades now is policy choices that aren't real choices. The staff will essentially package an outcome in two or three different ways and present that to the board of directors, and whatever choice is ultimately made, the policy decisions are not being made in the appropriate place. They're being made by the staff. And that's why this agency is in free fall. There's cowardice under fire here. We've got predation going on in listed species. Salmon are getting eaten by pinnipeds and cormorants. And this agency has never stood up and said, we cannot manage to the requirements of the Endangered Species Act feeding one listed species to another. So we're going to have to do something about populations of cormorants and seals and sea lions if we're going to spend $3 billion a year restoring fish. Why are we feeding them to fat, lazy seals and pinnipeds, sinking the boats, sinking the docks, and fouling the waterways? That's cowardice. And that is cowardice that's institutionalized by the staff. And the board isn't taking strong enough positions to direct the staff to come up with a solution to the problem, whether they have to have memorandums of agreement with the feds on, migratory species, birds, pinnipeds, you name it. We need flexibility to manage our resources. That brings me to wolves, cougars, and bears. You know, I have nothing good to say about the Department of Fish and Wildlife's management of wolves and cougars on the east side of the state of Oregon. And if you want to know how that translates into anger, go ask the landowners about where their LOP tags went. Because of the declining deer populations, people want to talk about habitat management. The landowner base in this state are doing everything humanly possible to manage the habitat in a way that sustains wildlife, and we're feeding the wildlife that's being sustained at the expense of the landowners to cougars and bears. I don't like it. And I regard that, again, as cowardice under fire, not necessarily by the staff. It's the board of directors who isn't stepping up and saying, change these policies, they don't work. I appeared in front of the commission over an issue about a spill over the Columbia River dams. A middle manager was approached improperly, I believe, by the governor and the natural resource policy people in the governor's office and directed to support additional spill over the Columbia River Dam, which had the effect, in my opinion, of increasing the demand for wind power. Bypassing the hydroelectric system just cost my ratepayers money, and spilling extra water over the dams in the wrong seasons gasifies that water and has a very deleterious effect on fish, making them much more subject to predation by birds and seals. That is as improper as it gets, and the board was bypassed. The board didn't even know such a letter had been submitted to the Bonneville Power Administration as the official position of the department. Now, you guys want to take over this position. I'm sure you're honored to be named. I'm going to tell you, I think a lot more humility about the job that you're about to undertake would serve everybody very well, because you're going to step into a blender, a mess. Even so much so that I was prepared to vote no not only on your appointments to this board, but the other two members that were going to be appointed to this board, not as a commentary on their willingness or capability to serve, but as a vote of no confidence on Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. This agency is a wreck. And, the symptoms, you can blame circumstances, you can blame a population bubble, you can blame a whole bunch of different issues for the lack of appropriate funding for this agency, but it's doing everything it can to alienate its customer base. It's suppressing fishing and wildlife take. It's suppressing hunting. It seems to me it's doing everything it can to drive its customer base away. You want the job? You got it. I'm going to vote for both of you, and good luck to you. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm not sure you're going to like me a year from now because I voted to confirm you. I think you guys are stepping into the mess of a lifetime. You're worried about your credibility, Senator? You should be. Mr. Buckmaster, you're worried about your credibility? You should be. This agency's a wreck, and it's only through the absolute 180-degree redirection of the board of directors that's ever going to change. So you got the job as far as I'm concerned. I'll be watching. Thank you, Madam Chair. Okay. There was no question, by the way, those comments.
Madam Chair, I have one. Thank you for your comments. Senator Boquist has an additional question. Go ahead.
Just to follow up, this should be a softball, even though it's a hardball question, because I know the governor, I was informed the governor asked you both this, the same question, and I might not have the verbiage right here, but I do know that we passed SB 830 in the 2013 session, which for better word, ratified the bi-state reform plan between both sides, which is now part of law, and we're marching down there. I believe the governor asked you both this same question to make sure that, you know, you're on board with the laws we've passed at the moment, so on and so forth. Would either of you like to comment on that?
Chair Rosenbaum, Senator Boquist. I think I should go first on that one. This is the one that gets me in the most heat. Am I the Svengali from Astoria that's going to totally turn this program, this bi-state, the commonly called the Kitts Harbor Plan, on its head and get rid of it? I told the governor no. I told Governor Kitts Harbor no. I didn't like this plan. I didn't like the way it came out. I thought it ignored some basic principles that should never have happened in this department. They put the burden on a group that did not want the plan and didn't like it. That said, the major difference between what Senate Bill 830 enabled, that legislation for the plan that was approved by the commission, the major difference between that and the Safe for Salmon plan that was around these halls a couple times and was defeated is the commitment to an economic win-win for both communities. I looked at Governor Kitts Harbor. I looked at all three of his communications regarding the plan, his very clear directive to the sitting commissioners to approve that plan, and I believed him. I think he wants it to be a win-win. The plan as written requires a lot of money, and I think we've already addressed where that is. It's going to take some work. I don't think it needs to be undone. If we can produce more fish and we can find places to produce them, if we can find gear that's economically viable, that has less impact than current gear, that makes sense, I'm fine with it. The idea, however, that we can just, we've passed that, we've got it, and we're just going to keep going on, and department people are going to say, oh, we'll get to that. The one hamburger today for two next Tuesday, I'm not for that. So, Senate Bill 830, no problem. The bill, commission, the plan, no problem. But it's got to be a win-win, and that means both sides have to say it's a win, and I'll work my butt off to make that happen. Thanks.
Chair, Senator Boquist. I was not asked that question by either of the last two governors, but I support the policy, certainly. A couple of points about it. There is larger opportunities for the agency to actually build new bridges that it doesn't have than the ones that get fought in these halls, and I do believe that. It's true. especially when it comes to fish on the North Coast, especially when it comes to goose predation in the valley, especially it comes to the Aleutian goose change in population from eastern Oregon to where they're camped out now, not moving on. Whether that comes to elk population finding a better home on publicly, on privately controlled timber, because the federally controlled timber has done such a poor job, they've got nowhere to, no respite. So there's a greater opportunity for us to carve new ground on things that are broader than not. And I think that Senate bill actually reflects one of those things. I would also say, by way of background, one of the things that excites me about this particular opportunity on an agency turnaround is a couple things. One is the chair of the commission, the new chair, is a personal friend of mine outside of this life, is a personal friend of mine, and it'll be a lot of fun to serve with him in his style and his approach to getting things done and not being passive. So I don't think there's anything to worry about when it comes to a passive board, at least with the personalities that might be confirmed. Secondly, I would say that not too many years ago, when Mr. Buckmaster started out in this world, he was one of the first guys, I think I might have been one of the first people he met, and we became friends. We didn't always agree on everything, as I don't with most of my friends, but he is a personal friend of mine. We were in a meeting a couple of weeks ago, and somebody said, the clarification was, so you're telling me, Atkinson, that you can work with Buckmaster? I said, no, that's not the clarification at all. The clarification is, Bruce Buckmaster is a personal friend of mine. It's much different than, can I work with him? I like him. I like what his approach is. And when it comes to this issue, I think I really do believe everything he just said, which about finding equitable positions, taking care of a community, and making sure there's enough salmon for folks. You know, there's a lot of other rivers in the state of Oregon that happens to be a big economic engine, the Columbia. But not too many years ago, I was moving a very large boat from Bellingham to Portland out around the ocean. And so the first night we moved to the very tip of Washington State, and the next day we came all the way down, going downhill in the Pacific, and came over the bar. When we came over the bar, we were, as a lot of people are when they come over the bar, rather beat up and rather tired. So we tucked into Astoria, and we were in a boat. We did not have a car. So who did I call? I called Bruce Buckmaster, and I said, Mr. Buckmaster, tonight you're buying us dinner, which he didn't. But we did have a nice time because he's a friend of mine. And I think one of the things that I've understood from this session about this building is there's a lot of personal relationships that are probably strained for a variety of natures. And I don't think I want that to be on this particular commission. I think I want strong personal relationships on the commission, even with people you might not 100% agree with. And I think you want those relationships with the executives if you're actually going to do a turnaround. I don't think anybody's interested in doing a management by consensus, which is a slow death. I think you've got big thinkers that want to do big things, and that should excite the clientele of this agency.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Okay. Senator Atkinson, I wish I could remember all the questions you used to ask people that appeared in front of this committee, but I think it was something about the Constitution.
Sure.
And who do you think you're accountable to in these positions? So I will just ask you to answer that for old time's sake.
Oh, that's very good. Yeah, the question is, if under this position you take the oath of office, who do you serve? And so the question, the thought behind the question is, do you work for the governor? Do you work for yourself? Or do you work for the people? And so those are the three answers I was always asking people in the current position where I'm sitting to answer. And so if they hem and hawed around it, the hem and haw would actually tell me more about the answer than the answer. So the answer is, my own particular one, it's the people. That's who you work for. You work for the people of the state of Oregon. And one of the things that's important about public service is this, and it's lost. And I will tell you it's lost from the outside of this building looking back. And I know all of you on this committee so well, being the backbone of the Senate, certainly, as all of you are. This needs to be interjected back into our discord. Public service is honorable. Public service is relational. And public service is not about a victory as much as it's about the entire state. And so that's my approach. It's always been my approach. I'm more idealistic than I was when I started in all this craziness anyway. But that's my answer to you. Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. Good answer, and good to have that back on the record. Okay, I don't see any other questions for either of you, so we will thank you for your time, let you go, and we'll be acting on both of your appointments at the close of the hearing today.
Thank you.
Thank you again. And we have a number of people signed up to testify, so we'll listen to all of you. We are going to limit your testimony to 2 minutes each because we really don't have much time and we want to hear from everybody. So I'll call people three at a time, and I'll start by calling Paul Lumley, Bob Toman, and Susan Chambers, if the three of you would like to come forward. And just so people can be prepared, the next three people will be Dale Ballard, Brooks Eilertson, and Tom Shipley, so they can be getting ready. Good afternoon, and welcome to the Senate Rules Committee. And whoever wants to go first, just say your name for the record and then what you want to say.
Ladies first.
Thank you very much. Go ahead.
Madam Chair and the committee, thank you for letting me talk today. My name is Bob Toman. I'm a fishing guide. It's been my primary income since 1971, although I started in 1968. I'm 1 month shy of 48 years as a guide. Some of the things I heard from Mr. Buckmaster and Atkinson and from you are all true. I used to be able to make my living from my house. Winter steelhead, I would fish for 5 months every day. I can't anymore because there aren't any. So I don't have a marketable business for winter steelhead. That's 5 months. That's almost half the year. Now I have to move someplace else and have become somewhat of a nomad to find fish somewhere else. And the Portland metropolitan area should be a huge drawing card to Oregon. It's where all the money comes from for the licenses, but our fishing there is in the shambles. And as they said, we need more. Now I'm here today to talk about Bruce Buckmaster. He's a client of mine, has been for about a dozen years, I suppose. And we talk about everything in my boat. And my clients, I've had some for 40 years. They're all become friends. Bruce has never wavered in our conversation from making more fish for everyone. It's never wavered. He's always talked about more sports fishing and more just more fish. Life is a bunch of choices, and we can argue about things, or we can do something about it. And Bruce is a do something about it guy. I don't judge people by who they are, by what they are. I judge them by who they are. And Bruce Buckmaster would be an excellent choice as a commissioner.
Thank
I
you.
I see the red light, so I'll stop.
Yeah.
Senator Rosenbaum, members of the committee, thank you for allowing me to testify. My name is Susan Chambers. I am the Deputy Director of the West Coast Seafood Processors Association, but for this testimony, I'm testifying on behalf of Southern Oregon Ocean Resources Coalition. We're a group of commercial sport-related businesses working together to deal with issues related to wind and wave energy and other issues such as Mr. Buckmaster's potential appointment. At our recent meeting, it was unanimous that the board supported Bruce, and we did have all of our sport fishermen and related businesses in attendance that day. And they all supported his collaborative method of working through issues and wanted to make sure that that you know that he represents not just the northwest portion of the state, but he would represent the whole state, Southern Oregon, everywhere, and not just some sports fishermen, but all sports fishermen, all commercial fishermen, tribal fishermen. And that was basically what we agreed on. And if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Thank you. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Chair Rosenbaum, members of the committee, Senator Farrelly, very good to see you again. My name is Paul Lumley. I'm executive director of the Columbia River Intertribal Fish Commission. I'm also a citizen of the Yakima Nation. The Columbia River Intertribal Fish Commission and our leadership from Warm Springs, Nez Perce, Umatilla, and Yakima asked me to come here and support the nomination of Bruce Buckmaster to the Oregon Fish and Wildlife Commission. For the past three decades, our member tribes have had the pleasure of working with Bruce Buckmaster in his capacity as a businessman and later on to address various issues impacting the Columbia River and Columbia River fisheries. Throughout this period, Bruce demonstrated the ability to work with diverse interests to reach collaborative solutions to complex issues. For example, Bruce Buckmaster served on the Umatilla Tribe Citizen Economic and Fish Recovery Forum from 2001 to 2003, a forum committed to finding a common ground when the Columbia Basin was mired in turmoil following the water and power crisis of 2001. Our tribes appreciate that Bruce Buckmaster clearly recognizes the importance of tribal fishing rights. It is now frequently acknowledged after decades of fighting that nobody would be fishing on the Columbia if it weren't for the tribe's assertion of their treaty fishing rights on behalf of the resource. Bruce Buckmaster was one of the first to publicly acknowledge this. The tribes appreciate his willingness to thoroughly understand tribal programs that are actively rebuilding salmon populations throughout the Columbia River and its tributaries. Bruce understands the benefits of all citizens share from efforts like the Nez Perce Tribe Snake River Fall Chinook Program and the Umatilla Tribe Spring Chinook Reintroduction Program on the Umatilla River. These tribally led programs put fish back on the spawning grounds and support fisheries throughout the region. He understands that the only way that our region can have successful fisheries is by rebuilding abundance, a viewpoint that the tribes have shared for decades. Our tribes were impressed by Bruce Buckmaster's active participation on the Pinniped Interaction Task Force, a diverse group that convened to assess the ongoing sea lion predation threat facing the Columbia Basin salmon populations. We value his service and continued dedication.
If you could conclude your testimony because your time is up.
Thank you. And address the sea lion situation as well as other challenges facing the population. Once again, the four tribes of the Fish Commission support Bruce Buckmaster. Thank you.
Okay, thank you all for your testimony. And I don't see any questions for you, so we'll let you go.
Thank you.
Okay, let's keep moving, and I'll call Dale Ballard, Brooks Eilertson, and Tom Shipley. And next on deck after we've heard from them will be Dave Shamp, Bruce Polly, and Brad Engie or Ainge. Good afternoon to you, and welcome to the Senate Rules Committee, and just go right ahead.
Me to start?
Sure.
My name is Tom Shipley. First of all, thank you to the committee for giving me the opportunity to speak. I've been personally interested in sport fishing all of my life, been a lifelong resident of Oregon, and I will be brief. I'm here very simply to oppose the ask you to oppose the Buckmaster appointment. And to take the positive side of that, I would just say that one of the reasons is that I think we should have more of a sport fishing exposure to the ODFW. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chair Rosenbaum, Vice Chair Farrelly, and members of the committee. My name is Brooks Eilertson. I live in Sherwood, Oregon, and I'm employed by Fisherman's Marine and Outdoor, and I'm a member of the Northwest Sport Fishing Industry Association. I'm here to testify to encourage you to vote no against the confirmation of the appointment of Bruce Buckmaster. Many regional and national fishing organizations, as well as conservation organizations and hundreds of businesses in our area and hundreds of thousands of fishermen and voters have worked together to improve the management of the Columbia River fisheries. It's in an attempt to make it more progressive and move it in the direction of a sport fishing priority. We want to hit conservation objectives and take advantage of the economic opportunities for the state of Oregon. Now, these groups are joined together against the appointment of Bruce Buckmaster. Many of us have seen what one man thoroughly dedicated to an agenda can accomplish against the wishes of a multi-state work group of stakeholders in turning back progress while finding safe harbor in the status quo that protects a handful of individuals bent on pursuing what some believe is an unnecessary, archaic form of commercial harvest. It's happened in the past, and most surely will happen if this appointment is confirmed. We have a serious situation which we recognize, and it's caused by an agency that cannot engage its stakeholders, and it happens when politically motivated appointments further move it away from its funding source, retarding progress and opportunity. Let's get the ODFW out of its death spiral by saying no to Bruce Buckmaster and the status quo management that we've been working against for so long. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Thank you. Chair Rosenbaum and committee members, my name is Dale Ballard, and I'm a vice president and volunteer member of the Coastal Conservation Association of Oregon. I'm here today to represent the thousands of CCA members in Oregon who oppose the appointment of Mr. Bruce Buckmaster to the ODFW Commission. CCA Oregon strongly believes that Mr. Buckmaster's appointment to the commission is a huge step backward that will ultimately result in the increased peril to the 13 species of ESA-listed salmon and steelhead on the lower Columbia River. I have provided with you a copy of the letter presented to Governor Brown outlining our opposition to Mr. Buckmaster's appointment. In the letter, we correctly label Mr. Buckmaster as an advocate, spokesman, and lobbyist for the Columbia River commercial gillnet industry. In the May 1, 2015 Statesman Journal, Mr. Buckmaster is identified as a registered lobbyist for Salmon for All. In that same article, Mr. Buckmaster affirms his involvement with the representation of Salmon for All and is quoted as saying, "I wish the facts were correct," he said. "The allegation that I have financial interest in this is just ludicrous. I never took a nickel for the lobbying." Okay. Please note that there was no assertion by CCA in their letter to the governor that Mr. Buckmaster was a paid lobbyist, and many would question what difference it makes. However, CCA does believe that there is a significance in the fact that by his own admission, Mr. Buckmaster was not paid for his efforts. As a paid lobbyist, Mr. Buckmaster could claim that he was merely representing the interests of his client, but as a non-paid volunteer who spent countless hours lobbying in Salem, it is clear that it is his own strongly held belief that non-selective gill nets should continue to be used in Lower Columbia. Continuing the use of non-selective gill nets in the Columbia River main stem after 2017 is contrary to the adopted Columbia River reforms and would continue to subject ESA-listed salmon and steelhead to non-selective harvest. Mr. Buckmaster has a well-known history of vigorously opposing the Columbia River reforms. Important foundation aspects of those management reforms were solidified by the passage of Senate Bill 830 in 2013. Senate Bill 830 passed the Senate 18-12 vote and a House vote of 41-18. Representative Bill Kimmerer summed up the importance of Senate Bill 830 nicely. "The biggest beneficiary of this legislation is the resource for the commercial and sport fishing communities to win. The fish have to win. Senate Bill 830 opens a new and exciting era of conservation, not just through the removal of main stem Columbia River gill netting."
Sorry, your time is up.
Okay. Well, I urge you to oppose his nomination. Thank you.
Thank you all for your testimony. And next I'll call Dave Shamp, Bruce Polly, and Brad Inge. And after them, we will hear from Pete Marcantis, Jack Glass, and Tom Hester. Welcome to the Senate Rules Committee, and please go right ahead.
Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum and members of the committee. My name is Dave Shamp, and I am chairman of the board of CCA Oregon. And along with Senators Girard and Monroe, I was a chief petitioner for Measure 81. And I want to say, much like Senator Feroli described, Measure 81 came out of our frustration with a fish management system on the Columbia that has long been broken, unchanged for years. CCA had proposed legislation several years ago to merely allow the use of other methods of harvest, and we were rebuffed by the gillnet lobby, led by Bruce Buckmaster. We went through the process, spent over $1 million and countless thousands of hours of volunteer time putting Measure 81 on the ballot. And as you know, Governor Kitzhaber stepped in and proposed that we reconsider Measure 81 and instead work on a compromise with the commercial fishing industry. We agreed to the governor's proposal, and unfortunately, the Gillnetters refused to work on a compromise plan. We kept our commitment, and we did not campaign on our own measure. We did not go out and support Measure 81. And instead, we went through a very contentious public process led by representatives from the recreation, conservation, and commercial interests. And Mr. Buckmaster represented those commercial interests. I won't go into all the detail here because I don't have the time, but at every opportunity, Mr. Buckmaster and the Gillnetters have opposed the reforms, they opposed the process, and they have opposed Senate Bill 830, as you've already heard. So I want to make it clear that this is not an attack on Mr. Buckmaster. As a person, I hold him in high regard, and I admire his effectiveness. But
if you could please wrap up.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. We believe that this is a conflict of interest. Because of his strongly held beliefs in opposition to the law significant to ODF&W's mission, and we do not believe that his appointment would be in conformance with ORS 496-090, and we respectfully request that you not confirm his appointment.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time. My name is Brad Engel. I'm Vice President of Stevens Marine, also represent Limewell Boats. We employ 130 people in the state of Oregon, and we cater to the sport fishing industry. Mr. Buckmaster has seems to have a personal agenda, and that would be the Gillnetters. He hasn't been willing to work with the sport fishing industry, and we oppose his confirmation.
Thank you.
Chair Rosenbaum, members of the committee, my name is Bruce Pauley with the Coastal Conservation Association. I reside in Sherwood, Oregon. I'm here before you today to testify on behalf of the thousands of CCA members that you've been hearing from about the appointment of Bruce Buckmaster to the ODFW Commission. As you have been hearing, sport fishers and fish advocates were shocked and dismayed to hear that Governor Brown's unexpected announcement of appointing Bruce Buckmaster to the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife Commission for District Seat 1. The ODFW Commission is tasked with directing ODFW and their policies and their implementation and modifications to those policies. In short, the Commission directs ODFW. Regardless of media reports and messages of support for Mr. Buckmaster, he is simply the main political operative, spokesperson, and past registered lobbyist for the Columbia River gillnet industry, an industry that pays so little into the ODFW budget that their contributions arguably don't cover the management costs of their own fisheries. In addition to the concern we have with the lobbyists on any state board that manages that industry, Mr. Buckmaster has worked to inflict retribution on sport fishermen in Oregon. Mr. Buckmaster and his industry suggested and lobbied for the Young's Bay closed area, banning sport fishers from a popular area in the Columbia River, an action that ODFW staff has testified has little to no effect on the Young's Bay terminal fishery, and proposed that all sport fishing be moved above the Megler Bridge in Astoria, which would basically kill the largest sport fishery on the Columbia River. Buckmaster also proposed setting up a gillnetting terminal area in the near Portland in the Willamette River. I would like to read for you a couple of quotes that Mr. Buckmaster made during the ODFW Commission meeting on June 6, 2013. These are from the adopted minutes of that meeting. Buckmaster said he testified against SB 830. He morally cannot defend SB 830 as it stands. In regards to the fiscal impact statements on the reforms, Buckmaster said he did not struggle with it. He was vehemently opposed to it. Now let's compare that to the form letter that our members have been getting from the Governor Brown's office. The primary concern of some appears that Mr. Buckmaster's appointment signals a change in policy regarding Lower Columbia River Gillnet Program. Mr. Buckmaster has assured Governor Brown that he will play a constructive role in implementation of Senate Bill 830 and on other issues that come before the commission. Something doesn't square up with those quotes and that statement. I'll try to wrap up very quickly.
Time is up.
Sport fishermen are the largest stakeholder of ODFW. We pay about 60% of their operating budget every year. We're being asked for about a 30% increase in fees in order to try to balance their new books. And this is a direct insult to the sport fishermen that are paying the bills with a lack of representation and by appointing a commissioner that's not only represented the gillnet industry, but applied retribution to sport anglers.
Thank you all for your testimony. And next I'll call Pete Markampis, Jack Glass, and Tom Hester. After we've heard from them, we'll be hearing from Rob Bignall, Lauren Sweeney, and Blaine, can't quite read this, it looks like Blaine Eckley, maybe? Eckley, okay, great. Okay, and if the three of you would like to just go ahead, whoever wants to go first.
Sure. Chair Rosenbaum and committee, my name is Jack Glass. I work as a full-time fishing guide, and I have for 34 years this month. I live in Troutdale, Oregon. Working as a full-time guide, the last 25 years, I've put a lot of time and effort into back into the resource by being on committees. I'm presently on with the Oregon State Marine Board as a guide advisory committee. I'm also on a restoration enhancement board for the state of Oregon that you're aware of. I've been on 7.5 years. We spend about $3 million a year on fish projects in support of our industry. What I have found on our Restoration Enhancement Board is that equality is present because of the way the bylaws are written. We have equal representation of three commercial interests, equal representation with three sports interests, and one person at large on the R&E board. That's the way the bylaws are written. With the appointment of Mr. Buckmaster, it feels unbalanced. There's already one representative from Newport, Ms. Anderson, who represents the commercial industry. Then we put Mr. Buckmaster on there. That throws it out of balance. We don't have any representation from the sport fishing industry. None. Nobody who is actually directly involved, a boat dealer, a manufacturer, a retailer, anything like that. Mr. Buckmaster is a great person because I've worked with him several times on different committees, and he's a champion in the industry. He's worked diligently and working with the commercial interests. I watch him drive his gillnet boat out of Astoria every year as he goes out and gillnets with the other fleet, and I'm not opposed to the gillnet. It's just the way that it's done, the way it's operated. So Mr. Buckmaster is a champion in industry. This is nothing against him personally. It makes this whole commission out of balance. And if we want to approve a fee increase, this is going to be a black eye into the sports fishing industry and is not going to help the sale of licenses. Not Mr. Buckmaster, not him personally. It's just the appointment. It throws the whole commission out of balance. And we have struggled with the commission for some time. We have not had equality, equitable, as the word that Mr. Buckmaster used. We do not have equitable an opportunity with the commission if it falls through this way. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony.
Chair Rosenbaum and distinguished members, my name is Tom Hester. I own a manufacturing firm in Clackamas, Oregon that makes tackle for the sport fishing industry. The governor has selected and nominated a candidate for the Fish and Wildlife Commission, namely Bruce Buckmaster, who is an industry insider for the commercial fishing folks. The commission already has a seat occupied by an entrenched industry representative. We think that while it's equitable and fair to have a solid advocate for commercial fishers on this committee, it's neither fair nor equitable to have two such advocates while the sport fishing industry has none. The state, in issues such as these, operates from a premise that sport fishing is a hobby while commercial fishing is an industry. That premise is deeply, deeply flawed and consistently leads to fish resource decisions that are economically unjust. My company, Paulson Cascade Tackle, manufactures sport fishing goods in Clackamas, as I've already mentioned. We support a modest payroll, but would employ more if our industry was afforded more consideration as an industry. We support many other Oregon-based firms in our manufacturing efforts. Therefore, adding to the wave of economic good our activities generate. While the governor thinks that having someone who likes to fish in another seat is a balanced approach, it's very plain for all to see that there is no balance at all. Sport fishing is an industry. We have no one on the commission representing us as an industry. That is not a balance, it is a stacked deck. Please resist this iniquity by voting against yet another commercial fisher insider being seated on this board. For once, let's recognize that our side is an industry and one that contributes significantly to Oregon's economy, both directly and collaterally. Let's do the right thing and give our side a balancing seat on this commission. Oppose Buckmaster. Put somebody from our side in there.
Thank you for your testimony. And please go ahead.
Madam Chair, committee members, my name is Pete Markettis. I'm an avid outdoorsman who was fortunate to live in a state that offers such a wide variety of activities and opportunities for us to enjoy. I must express my deep concern over the nomination of Mr. Buckmaster to the ODFW Commission. I've not met him, but I have every reason to believe that he's a gentleman and a fine person. However, his history of advocacy for a group whose methods and practices have proven lethal to threatened and endangered fish lead me to believe that his appointment would be counterproductive to the interests of those agencies and individuals who have invested so heavily in salmon recovery. Regarding our budget challenges, it's well documented that the sports fishing community is the largest contributor to the ODFW budget. It is disappointing to think that a group that contributes so much would be so underrepresented on the commission. I can understand the necessity of fee increases. I will pay them because fishing is what I do. It's part of my DNA. Through my fees, I feel that I am in some way part of the ODFW and share many of the same interests. However, not all fishing license holders are as devoted to the sport. There are countless other activities for Oregonians to enjoy, and I worry that we would be losing sport anglers to those pursuits. Already, there are friends of mine who are frustrated by the combination of fee increases and the Buckmaster appointment. They feel disenfranchised by ODFW, and this appointment adds to that feeling. We are at risk of losing their membership just when we need them most. We are competing for people's recreational dollars, and adding a commissioner who has represented a user group that contributes so little while taking so much does not appear to be a successful strategy for winning that competition. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Thank you to all of you. And next we'll call Rob Bignall, Lon Sweeney, and Blaine Eckley. And then after that, we'll hear from Bob Reese and Liz Hamilton and Larry Mills. Welcome to the Senate Rules Committee, and thanks for waiting so patiently.
Hi, my name is Rob Bignall. I'm a local fishing guide in the Portland metropolitan area. And I urge you to vote no on Mr. Buckmaster's appointment. Today we heard his early testimony. Not once did he actually say he was representing the local recreational fishermen, and that's a problem for me. Our other candidates seem to have a proactive approach to what's going to happen or his possible future. And the urgency of finding a relationship for the right candidate, our current commission earlier this year disregarded ODFW's recommendation to returning barbed hooks to the Willamette River, which had gained support for our current recreational fishermen. And I struggle with Mr. Buckmaster's appointment, and I urge you to vote no on him. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your brevity, too.
That's my green light.
There you go.
Okay. Hey, Chairperson, Commissioners, my name is Lon Sweeney. I'm from Sandy, Oregon, and I have a place down on the Skipanon River. That's just west of the Young's Bay that was shut down a while back. I come down here to testify not so much about fishing, but more about good government policy. I'm concerned about the appointment of Mr. Buckmaster due to the term of regulatory capture. I'm all sure you guys know what that's about. And if he's placed on the committee and we have another commercial fishing representative there, we already have Laura Anderson, and she does a fine job of representing the commercial fishing industry. What we don't have, and I'm sure you've heard before, is another sports, real sports person on there. And I apologize for the voice. It's about gone. So is that green light. one of the nice things about the Oregon legislature is it's still a citizen legislature. And today a large group of citizens have come down here to talk to you, senators, as fellow citizens, to address the concerns regarding this nomination. Governor Brown's nomination, over 90 people, and not one of them has this type of reaction from the public. This is an anomaly. There's been a high level of concern raised. I hope that when you go to make your decision, you take that into account. And watch out for that big word I picked up there, regulatory capture. Thank you.
Thank you.
Beat the light.
Chair Rosenbaum, Vice Chair Ferrioli, and members of the committee, my name is Blaine Ackley. I reside in Hillsboro, Oregon, and I'm a sport fisherman. You have my comments. I've sent you emails and so forth already. So rather than going into that, I want to go back to something that Bruce Polly said about Mr. Buckmaster in his written testimony to the ODFW about Senate Bill 830. Okay, at that hearing, he said that he was not only opposed to it, he was vehemently opposed to it. Now, if you're vehemently opposed to something, that means you're a flag waver, right? You're not just sitting back, you're vehemently opposed. If you're morally opposed to something, you and I we're morally opposed to human trafficking, murder, rape, those things, right? That's things that are morally wrong. That's what he says about Senate Bill 830. If it's morally wrong, how can he sit on a board, on a commission, and equitably rule for everyone? It's impossible. Unless the guy is bifurcated in some way, and he didn't seem to be when he was here. So I just urge you to vote no.
Okay, thank you all for your testimony.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Freeling.
Great risk. I'd like to ask this panel a question.
Okay, go ahead. Oh, if you could just wait one moment. We have a question for you.
Oh, Madam Chair, that killed it. They switched chairs on me. I've been hearing this is not about Buckmaster, but more about balance. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. True.
Thank you, Madam Chair. That was my question.
Okay. Thank you for your answer. And next we'll call Bob Rees and Liz Hamilton and Larry Mills. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Senate Rules Committee, and thanks for your patience.
Good afternoon, Chair Rosenbaum, Vice Chair Ferrioli, members of the committee. My name is Bob Rees, the Executive Director for the Association of Northwest Steelheaders, representing 1,600 members and 12 chapters in Oregon. Collectively, our members contribute about 30,000 volunteer hours a year to the betterment of fish and wildlife resources in the state of Oregon. The steelheaders are opposed to the appointment of Bruce Buckmaster. Rarely will you see such a collective of sport fishing interests opposed and rally in opposition of such a measure. If we could just, the skeleton crew that remains in the crowd, if folks opposed to this appointment would raise their hands to indicate there's several folks that will not testify today. We represent not only these folks raising their hands right now, but the thousands of sport anglers in Oregon that also oppose this appointment. We worry this appointment will reverse the course on a plan that optimizes economics in rural Oregon, prioritizes sport fishing families to enjoy outdoor activity, which is becoming an endangered species of itself, and protects sensitive wild runs of salmon and steelhead that sport anglers have invested hundreds of thousands of hours to rebound. Sport anglers cannot support a person who has publicly stated he will do what he can to derail the current course of change that we've worked for decades to achieve. Finally, we fear that we're headed back to the days, the decades of confrontational commission meetings that divided user groups, prevented us from working on more effective positions and initiatives for the betterment of fish and wildlife, and caused a great deal of disdain directed towards the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony.
Chair Rosenbaum, Vice Chair Ferrioli, thank you for the opportunity to testify. I'm Liz Hamilton, and I have the good fortune of serving as the Executive Northwest Sport Fishing Industry Association. There's a lot of people here today. Overflow this room, and that's really surprising when you notice that the Oregonian, the writer that we read, said the votes were already counted, and yet people still came up because it's their hope that we can have a voice here and we can make a difference. There's also a lot of emotion, and I think the emotion is centered on the issue of fairness and the issue of justice. If you've already heard over and over again from our industry, I won't say it again, but there's an imbalance on the commission, and this doubles down on that imbalance. But there's another reason for all this emotion and all the people wearing hats in the room and in the overflow room, and that's really because for decades, and I've got a picture of the decades here, and I think you can see big bars, little bars, the commercial fishing industry is harvesting the bulk of the fish, while the license holders in our industry with our excise tax are paying the bulk of the fees. So this is where a lot of that emotion is coming from. Now, you know, it's going to be this way in the future. If we continue with the path on Senate Bill 830, we need the commercial fleet to clean up with the sport fleet. We're not that effective. We can't get all the fish. So it's a needed partnership. But the emotion that you're seeing is from people who feel like they're paying the bill while another industry shuts them down and they have to watch while the other industry fishes. So I urge you to think about the unfairness of this appointment, the optics that it creates, and I hope that people coming to Salem really can make a difference. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your testimony.
Good afternoon. My name is Larry Mills. Senator Rosenbaum and Senator Farioli, thank you for and rest of the committee members, thank you for letting me address this. Regarding Mr. Buckmeister, to begin, I'm confused. I'm trying to understand the logic of this appointment. Our current governor in office for 2 or 3 months makes a decision that makes little sense. Is this decision based on faulty information, or is this simply some predictable lobby for votes? Maybe it's just a Salem logic. I don't know. Balance on the ODFW Commission is critically important. This decision is moved forward about as if moved forward is about as far from balance as possible. With this nomination, proposed fee and proposed fee increases, fishermen at least are starting to feel they're kind of getting their nose rubbed in it a little bit. At least this fisherman feels that way. It's time to reconsider this appointment. If this nomination is approved, I know, personally, I will be right in line to sign the inevitable ballot measure that will follow this process. Thank you.
Okay, yes, Senator Farioli.
Same question as before. Madam Chair, is this about the nominee or is it about balance on the commission?
Well, Chair Rosenbaum, Vice Chair Farioli, it's really about the historic actions that, not on a personal level, but just the historic actions a lobbyist takes on behalf of the industry he represents and the historic imbalance that's happened on the commission as well.
Senator Farioli, Madam Chair, if I may, I believe that if I were nominated to be on the Fish and Wildlife Commission, you would see an equal outpouring of people that were upset saying, well, she's been an advocate for the Sport Fishing Industry Association. So some of it is imbalance and the injustice that we've watched for years, having an industry that's not represented in the commission. But the other part of it is the, in his own words, I've heard him say many times that was there anything that can make this plan right? No, nothing would make the plan right. And so I think the same answer would be here, is that this is just the wrong time, the wrong choice, especially when the agency is so disconnected from its customer base right now. I mean, you hit the nail on the head with what's going on at ODFW. We need to reconnect that agency with the people who hunt and fish. And I don't think this is the way to do it. At least that's the way, the feeling of the people that we're talking to.
Yes and no. I think that balance is obviously the biggest issue here. But you're not going to take anyone that's going to be a really polarizing figure and put them on a commission. There needs to be people maybe representing certain interests within that industry or that point of view. But this is a polarizing figure. And so all it's going to do is cause a lot of upheaval. And so balance is the question. I totally agree with that. But in this particular case, I think that it's a really polarizing issue.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Farioli.
I serve in this building on committees with people who want to limit the Second Amendment. So I'm no stranger to polarizing figures, but these are the very same people that I am required to and do compromise with on a daily basis, and they with me. So I'm trying to get to the nub of this issue, and I'm hoping that it's not about the effectiveness of the lobbyist being at issue, you know, or the strength of the advocacy. What I'm hoping this is all about is I'm hearing that it's about the balance that's perceived by sport fisher folk of the current makeup of the committee if Mr. Buckmaster's added. So I'm not trying to put words in your mouth. I'm trying to figure out, is there some movement forward, perhaps, that would resolve this issue? That's for another day. Thank you, Madam.
Thank you. Senator Farrelly, thank you all for your testimony. And our last witness signed up is Jim Wells. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Senate Rules Committee.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much, Senator Rosenbaum and committee. Jim Wells from Astoria, Oregon, lifetime commercial fisherman. I guess I'm going to be the odd man out here, and I'm speaking in support of Mr. Buckmaster. And he has wide support. All four treaty tribes actually agreed on him, which is very rare. Sport fishing groups, ports, associated businesses. He's got a wide range of support. He'd be a great candidate. I'd like to see him. I'm from his district. Most of the people here railing against him today are not from our district. They're from outside. Governor Kitzhaber would not appoint a commissioner to represent our district through these radical changes our industry went through. We asked and asked, and he would not appoint anybody. Now we have a chance to get somebody, a very qualified candidate, from our district on the commission. If you read the bios of the current commissioners, most of them are avid sport fishing people. They like to fish as a hobby. There's no commercial fisherman sitting on the commission. There's one that grew up with their dad. He was a commercial fisherman. Now she owns a seafood restaurant. So there's no commercial fisherman sitting on that commission. I don't know what this balance thing they're talking about is. In one more point, you look back at the salmon runs in the Columbia River. I just look back. Bonneville Dam was constructed in 1938, and all Chinook runs spring, summer, and fall over Bonneville since 38. There's 2 years where there's been a million-plus Chinook salmon past the dam. It's not 1938 or 1940. It's 2013 and 2014, and you're in for another record year this year. If that's not enough fish for people to get along and be able to share, then it's a very sad state of affairs, and I'm ashamed of it. Thank you very much. Any questions? I'll be happy to answer them.
Madam Chair, I thought of a question. Would you like a 5-minute head start?
I might need it, but I can handle it.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you again.
Yeah, thank you all very much.
And that completes our sign-up sheets of witnesses. So we thank you all for your testimony. And so that completes our public hearing. So I'll close the public hearing and open a work session. And the chair will move the appointment of Jason Atkinson to the State Fish and Wildlife Commission. Is there any discussion on this appointment? Any objection? Okay, I don't see any. If not, the motion carries. And we do need a carrier for this on the floor. And Senator Beyer will be our carrier on the floor. So I'll close the work session. And next, I'll open a work session and move the appointment of Bruce Buckmaster to the State and Fish and Wildlife Commission. Is there any discussion?
I'd like to discuss, but not this. Afterwards, I'd like to make some comments.
Yeah. Well, I'll make a comment. I will say, and particularly to the people who hung in here and testified today and showed up, too, that I have struggled with this appointment. I do share some of the concerns that have been expressed today. I have decided to give the benefit of the doubt to this appointment, even though I share many of your doubts, and am taking the commitment that was made today at its word or his word that he will abide by the deal that's been struck and the bi-state compact. I also have received assurances from our governor that if at any point or the instant that that commitment is broken, that he will be removed and that she is willing to remove him from the commission. On the strength of that, I've decided to vote for this, but I do so with a somewhat divided mind. So that is where I'm at. And I don't see anybody else who wants to comment at this point. You had some comments after we vote. So is there any, I see no further discussion. Is there any objection to the motion? Seeing none, motion carries. Senator Roblin has asked to carry this on the floor, so we will allow him to do that. He'll be our carrier, and I'll close the work session. And Senator Boquist.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think what we heard today and what I've seen all kinds of email, and I would appreciate, we had this on 941, and those of you who don't know about 941, it's a gun bill, and there was two types of email. There was form email and shoot them dead in the streets, and then there was individual email, which actually brought rational points up. And that's very helpful, because what I've heard, Madam Chair, and what all of us heard is that there's not a, you know, in my mind, there's not a perception of imbalance on the board. I think several of us here had very strong, stern words outside of this committee that the commission is screwed up, period. I mean, I fully understand the sports fisherman industry, and I have no reason to doubt the $60 million you put out there, as that's what you contribute, but it's $32 million upside down right now, which means we're in a world of problems in an agency that has almost no way out. That, you know, we've heard the cattlemen want to have an appointee, we've heard that the sports fishermen want to have an appointee, and I'm wholeheartedly in favor of that. You know, my position is okay, this is a board, as I started out at the beginning, Madam Chair, and I said, this is a little different. Most of our boards and commissions are advisory. This one actually hires the director. It's a rarity. It's a very rare board in that terms. I did, in fact, ask for input from the reappointments, which we are not going to move at this point, because of the concerns that the agency is upside down. And I've gone back. I've talked to the auditors. I've talked to the LFO analysts. I've reached around there and tried to see what's going on. And the fact of the matter is, as both appointees said, whether you like either one of them or not, we need to reform this. And many of the issues that were brought up by individuals out here are completely legitimate. The issue that comes up is that the board as is isn't working. And we need to put new blood in there. Sometimes new blood's not what we all want, but then the flip side of it is we can't leave, in my mind, and where we're going here is, you know, I'm at this point would have been a no vote on the other two appointees if we were reappointing them, because we need a complete new start. We need to have more sports fishermen on there. We need to have people who are willing to roll up their sleeves and work day to day on this, because that's the sort of board and commission that we have here. And if not, there isn't going to be sport fishermen. If we don't figure out a way, including a fee increase, if that's the way it works out, to fill a $32 million hole, they're not going to be issued eating tags and licenses or anything else. So everybody out there needs to help work and come up with other ideas, and specifically, as far as I'm concerned, other appointees that can help overhaul this agency. Because we surely, madam, and I know on the tax and revenue, aren't going to be able to come up with $32 million in new taxes to fill a hole there. So thank you.
Thank you, Senator Boquist. Any other comments?
Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Farioli.
Having the distinct impression, if not certain knowledge, that people believe that decisions are made before they get here. But I want you to look beyond that, which may seem to be obvious, and listen to what Senator Boquist just said. Two of the appointments that were scheduled to move forward are not going to move forward in this meeting. And the engagement that I see here today isn't going away. You know, you're not going to, you know, dust your mitts and get in the car and forget all about this. You're going to stay engaged. There are other issues of imbalance that need to be addressed on that commission. So I want to tell you that the rest of the story will unfold. Sometimes when you go to solve a problem, you can't impose the perfect solution in one telling of the story. It takes time, takes iteration. So I would urge you to stay engaged. I think Senator Boquist gave you clear direction about suggestions for moving forward. I would very highly value your suggestions. Know that there are other interest groups out there that feel that there's an imbalance on the current board as well, and perhaps they might present opportunities for allies in as we move forward on the whole question of how do we reform a board that really should be directing the agency as opposed to an agency that's been directing the board. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Farioli. Okay, so that completes our agenda for today. Members, we do have a full agenda. I don't know if we posted it. We have posted it for Thursday, so.
Oh, joy. Just like this one.
It's that time in session. So with nothing further to come before us, thank you, members. Thank you to the audience, and we're adjourned. First, thank you to the audience, and we're adjourned.